Hey, 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 everybody. You know what time it is. It's 8 p.m. Monday night. That means it's time for Sold Out right here on CJLO Radio 1690 a.m. Thank you for joining me tonight. My name is Lou. And tonight, folks, we've got a bit of a different type of programming because there's still going to be plenty of classic soul, but I'm joined by a fantastic soul singer, soul enthusiast, soul collector, even?
Yeah? Sure.
All right, a soul collector, too. Her name is Sue Khoury. Sue, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you for having me, Lou.
You made a wicked, wicked playlist that I'm so excited to get into, because not only are these songs just like hallmarks of soul music, but they mean something to you. They also mean something. They're like historical artifacts, these songs.
Exactly. They really are. There's a lot of feeling and a lot of issues, let's just say, in terms of the times behind these songs, you know.
Absolutely.
Because soul music comes from, as far as I'm concerned, comes from hard times. Mm-hmm. And you belt it out in the song and mm-hmm. it comes right through. And some of these songs, you can hear the story behind it just by listening to the singer sing the song.
Oh, yeah, totally. Do you find over the course of your life, I know sometimes when I go through hard times or something, the blues gets suddenly a new appeal, you know?
Absolutely. Or
soul music. Has soul music gotten you out of hard times? Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, we're going to hear from people who sang their woes like Mahalia Jackson, Diana Ross later on, Patti LaBelle, Gloria Gaynor, of course. Oh my God, I'm so glad you put this song on. Yeah, because if you've ever heard Sue sing, folks, because actually Sue and I play in a band, you know, occasionally. Your brother Tom. Hey Tom, how's
it
going?
That's right.
Yeah, it's Tom's band and you're featured on many songs, especially on like the Gloria Gaynor cover.
That's
we
right,
do
yeah.
Where you really get
survive.
A chance to belt it out. Has that been a lifelong practice for you, singing? Or
yeah, I've been singing since a very young age, since the age of two, actually.
Oh, wow.
As I was telling you earlier, I grew up with a lot of older brothers and sisters, and they were playing Motown and soul music at home, so I heard this from the age of 2 years old. And like I said, while you were going to school, and they wanted us to sing Frère Jacques, but at home I was listening to Respect by Aretha Franklin.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Diana Ross and Dionne Warwick. And,
that's a better education, in my opinion. Than...
So when I get to school, it was like, I don't know about this music.
This is boring.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah, in fact, maybe we could even start talking about the first song that you brought to play tonight, which is from the 1967 album I've Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You, and it's Aretha Franklin. It's a song called Dr. Feelgood.
Exactly.
I love this song.
Dr. Feelgood, love is a serious business.
Oh, yes. Have you heard there was a version that I really dug. I think it was at the Fillmore West. Because there was a time in like Aretha's career, maybe like in the early 70s, when she did, have you heard like The Amazing Grace?
Yes, of
okay,
course,
yeah.
Of
Where
course.
There's a number of like live recordings that she did in around that time that are like these extended, super long versions.
I know.
That build, and it's like a stew. They like ruminate, like.
Exactly.
Dr. Feelgood, there's an exceptional version of it. I don't know if you've heard
I've
it before.
I've heard it, yeah. I heard it once. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, it's, to me, this song has everything in it. It's got blues, it's got soul, it's even got a bit of jazz. But it's maybe not her most famous song, mm-hmm. but it's probably one of my favorite Aretha songs.
Is there any reason, do you think, behind why? Or
It's just the riffs and the licks in the song. If you listen, when she stops and she starts again and she stops, it's like she's telling a story, but she's feeling it in every mm-hmm. movement and every sound and every mm-hmm. note that she sings. So... soul music to me is a feeling, mm-hmm. and I feel her singing this song, and that's why probably it's one of my favorites by
oh,
her.
Oh yeah, I think if you don't feel something when listening to this, you're probably dead or can't hear. There's no problem with that, but you know, it's easy to feel this emotion coming off of this record. I'm gonna play a little bit from Dr. Feelgood. Here's Aretha Franklin, everybody, right here on Sold Out CJLO 1690 AM.
Always
comment. It really pains me to have to fade out this song. Maybe I can play it really quietly in the background for a little bit, maybe. This, I was looking it up while we were listening to it. Dr. Feelgood was written by Aretha, like you were telling me, Sue, and Ted White, who you said is her first husband, right? Who she married at a really weird, strangely young age.
Yeah, very young age.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what the story is behind all this.
Didn't last long.
Yeah.
But
he was heavily involved with her career too, right?
At the beginning, yes, he was. She has a son with him as well, who was involved in her musical career over the years. Obviously, since she's passed, I'm not sure what he's doing, if he's still in the music business, but
yeah.
He was very involved in her career.
I didn't know that. Interesting.
Yeah.
You mentioned before, was it related to Aretha? You said you had
a
story.
Yes, there's an interesting story about Aretha. So when I was 2 years old, TV was on. It might have been Ed Sullivan, I'm not sure, and Aretha Franklin was singing. And so TV was on in the background. My mom stopped and she goes, "Oh my gosh, who's this singer?" So I was 2 years old and I passed by and I look at the screen and I go, "Dad, Aretha Franklin."
Hey.
So my mother looks at me and she goes, "What?
What?"
Like, so she goes, Delal, that's my sister's name. Come here. What's the name of this singer? She just said something, but I don't know if that's... She goes, "Oh, that's Aretha Franklin." So she goes, "Oh my gosh, Sue just said that Aretha Franklin." So anyways, it ended up to be a running joke over the years. And she came to the Forum at the time in 1993.
Oh my God, did you see her?
I did see her. I saw her in 1993. And after the concert, I actually went with my sister Delal, who was the one who introduced me to Aretha Franklin. And we saw her in concert. And on the way home, we're driving back and we see this limousine. And I said, "I bet you that's Aretha in the limousine." So she said, "I don't know. You think?" I said, yeah, let's see if they pull up. Sure enough, they pull up to the Four Seasons Hotel at the time.
Right.
And I see like band members. I recognize them from the show.
Sure.
And I said, "That's it. I got to meet her. It's like, so slowly but surely, you know, some band members are walking out. And then all of a sudden, there she walks out. She's got I got to see her. So we get out of the car.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I'm freaking out. I kept saying like that. So she turns to me, she goes, "Now don't do that."
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Got her autograph and...
Oh my God. How did I not know this before,
yeah.
Sue?
And
ended
up writing an article for the Gazette about that whole story.
Get out.
How she was like my idol. And
that is amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of people say meeting your idol is like the worst thing you could do.
No.
But this sounds like
it was the
a
best.
Beautiful experience.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, it was.
Wow.
Really was. Yeah,
oh my
yeah,
God,
yeah.
That's amazing.
It was a very fun experience. So
yeah.
That's my little history with Aretha. And, you know, as you know, she passed away a couple of years ago.
2016, something?
The calls that I got, calls of condolences to me.
Like it's a family member,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
In a way, these people, I mean, that's what music kind
of
is, right?
They become a part of us. Like, I know, exactly.
Like on a totally... related but unrelated genre-wise, Neil Peart from Rush passed away earlier this last week.
Yeah.
And again, people were telling me, like giving condolences, and likewise, I was giving
Imagine.
Other people because these people matter so much to
exactly.
us, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they know that you care, you know,
absolutely.
About what they're singing,
absolutely.
What they're doing.
I think if we asked Aretha Franklin if she had an idol of some kind in some capacity, she might answer with the next artist, the next performer we have on this list, who is Mahalia Jackson.
Exactly.
Some people like to kind of give her this title of godmother of soul, or like grandmother
well,
of soul.
Yeah, she was a mother of soul gospel.
Uh-huh.
She was a mentor to Aretha Franklin. I mean,
right.
Aretha grew up with her. And Mahalia was at Aretha's house all the time because Aretha's father was a pastor. And Mahalia Jackson's a gospel singer.
Right.
Gospel music is a big passion for me. And
mm-hmm.
Mahalia influenced Aretha. And of course, you know, Aretha's gospel roots and all
mm-hmm.
that.
Oh, yeah.
And Mahalia is known for Silent Night. I mean, that's her famous song that everybody knows.
I got the Christmas album. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh,
everybody
yeah.
knows that song. But I just, I'm crazy about Mahalia Jackson. I have a painting of her made by my sister-in-law, Anne, in my living room. And I decided to choose a song by her that's maybe less known, called How I Got Over.
Okay.
It was written by Clara Ward, who was a gospel singer from the 50s.
Right.
But it's very much, it's not only a gospel song, but it's about the civil rights movement a little bit and, you know, the suffering that they went through. And I thought, again, it's that feeling, you know, that soul feeling. And when Mahalia sings, it's like she feels everything she's singing about. And that's one of the reasons why I love her. And so I chose this song because I figured Silent Night, Christmas is over now. Maybe it's time.
But you're right. I think a lot of people would agree with you, especially in this song, because like we were talking about before we started broadcasting, Mahalia sang this song at the March of Washington, right?
That's right.
In 63?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, in front of Martin Luther King and all these people, like that's pretty powerful. And I don't think it could have been anybody else but Mahalia Jackson. So I'm going to play How I Got Over, or at least a segment from it now, and then we might have to dip into the commercials right after that, unfortunately. But we got plenty more soul to get through, folks. So please stick around. You're listening to Sold Out on CJLO Radio 1690 AM, and my guest is Sue Khoury. I'm having a lot of fun, man. This is great. Here's Mahalia Jackson with How I Got Over.
Taught me. Thank my God I kept me. I'm gonna thank him cause he never left me. And I wanna thank him for old time religion. I wanna thank God for giving me a vision.
CJLO listeners, are you looking for a show that's going to take you on a ride? We'll park it right here every Tuesday night at 9 p.m., where Camille and Crystal Christine will be discussing local and international trending topics, along with special segments like health, dating, and more. Plus, you never know who may drop in and join our conversation.
Tame Impala, an incredible transcendent live performance. Bell Center, June 3rd. With special guest, Perfume Genius. Get tickets now at eventco.ca. The new album, The Slow Rush, is available February 14th. Check more at tameimpala.com.
What's up, everybody? You're still listening to Sold Out. CJLO Radio 1690 AM, and I'm still here with the wonderful and knowledgeable Sue Khoury, and we're talking all things classic soul. Before the break, we heard a segment from How I Got Over, the Mahalia Jackson song. I love that song. I love all of these songs. Sue, we have so much to talk about, and I'm worried we're not going to have enough time for everything.
We'll do what we can.
We'll do what we can.
Yeah.
The next song that you have chosen to play tonight, you brought a Burt Bacharach song.
That's right.
Which, to me, I'm always like, Burt Bacharach, old-fashioned pop music, but to you it means something completely different.
Well, yeah, like I was saying earlier, Burt Bacharach and Hal David, when they came out with their songs, they were so unique. And growing up listening to them, they had such a distinct sound, and as did Dionne Warwick, who many of their songs were written for. And I used to listen to her singing, and it's what they called soul pop, because there is soul. There's definitely soul in her voice, but it also had a pop feeling. But when you listen to the format of Burt Bacharach and Hal David's songs, it's like I told you before, someone recently asked me, what's the greatest song you think was ever written? And I said, it's hard to say. I mean, there's so many great songs, but I think one of them might be a Burt Bacharach and Hal David song, because their music was so distinct and harmonious, but something we had never heard prior to that. Like, this song came out in 1966. Mm-hmm. They had started working with her in mid-60s. Mm-hmm.
You're right, though, because I can totally... I'm more familiar with the Aretha version of this song. But the minute I heard when you sent me the playlist, and I don't think I'd actually heard the Dionne Warwick version of this, the original.
Okay.
But the minute I heard it, I was like, oh, yeah, this is trademark. It sounds like a Burt Bacharach song, you know?
Yeah.
With the little horn arrangements. And it's so distinguishable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to play a little segment of that actually right now, because every time we talk about these songs, it makes me just want to listen to them all night. And actually, a funny thing about this song, I'm pretty sure it's related to Vietnam, right?
Like,
it's got the perspective of
exactly
a woman who's got a woman's somebody fighting overseas.
For a man who's fighting in the Vietnam War. So I'll say a little prayer for you.
Layers to these songs, eh? Yeah, it's not
a lot of stories.
It's not that simple. It's pretty deep and profound.
Yeah.
All right. So here's I'm gonna play a little segment from I Say a Little Prayer. Here's Dionne Warwick.
The moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you. Walk home in my hair now, and wondering what dress to wear now, I say a little prayer for you. Forever, forever, you'll stay in my heart. For the bus, dear, while riding, I think of us, dear. I say a little prayer for you.
Again, I wish I could play the whole thing. Yeah, that's a wonderful song.
It is. It's a nice song. It's
Oops, here.
Sorry about that.
No worries. Here, I'm just muting the microphone. If you want to lower it, you can adjust it a little better. There we go. That's community radio. Oh, yeah. Are you comfortable? Yeah, are you okay with it? Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Sorry.
No, don't worry.
Yeah, no, it's unique. Their songs were unique. Dionne Warwick's voice was unique.
Totally.
And distinct, like I said before. And again, we had never heard music like that, and we had never heard a voice like Dionne Warwick's either. And we haven't really heard the likes of a voice like Dionne Warwick's. One of the singers who's hard to imitate. Mm-hmm. You know, some singers have had their imitators, but no one's quite been able to imitate Dionne Warwick. As you know, her her niece is Whitney Houston. I don't know if you knew that, but
they're all in the same family.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And she had, of course, an amazing voice, yeah, but different from Dionne Warwick's.
Yeah. And good thing she was coming out in the, I mean, prolific in the 60s, because it's a really good time for this kind of crossover pop soul. Well, you get your Stevie Wonders and your,
that's
and your Jackson Fives that are kind of like straddling this line between R&B and pop music. And I think she's definitely really a voice that really represents that really well.
Yeah.
And same thing could be said also about the next artist we have here, because it's Diana Ross, who's had a super long career with all kinds of, I mean, disco owes a pretty big...
Motown, mostly. I mean,
and Motown,
it, Motown,
yeah.
That was, you know, and this song here was probably the last song she sang with the Supremes. I think it is. It was. She might have come back and sung a few songs a couple of years later, but this is when she was leaving the Supremes.
Yes.
And so the title of the song is fitting, but at the same time, there's something like bigger about this song when you listen to it. It's like you're walking into a new world, especially when it starts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to it and it's, again, a feeling, but a feeling of something bigger. And
yeah, it's almost like cinematic. Maybe it's just the arrangement, but there's something, you're right, there's like a grandiose quality to it.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's called Someday We'll Be Together, which I think was kind of like an open-ended departure, right, from the Supremes.
That's right.
Like, okay, maybe one day we'll get back together.
Exactly,
but,
yeah. But
I wonder what happened to those other Supremes. Do you know know what happened?
One of them died, but some of them did solo careers that didn't really, unfortunately.
Nothing compared to Diana Ross.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, okay. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that maybe I want to tell the listeners to pay attention to in this recording and the little bit that we're going to play. One thing I love about this song that I didn't really pick up on initially was that you can hear the songwriter and producer of this song. His name is Johnny Bristol, right?
Yeah.
You can hear him in the track kind of like reinforcing Diana Ross, being like, yeah, you tell them. Yeah, tell, you know, you can hear it in the recording, and I'm so glad they kept it in.
Yeah.
Because it's so uplifting. Like,
it's,
I'm
so
listening
cool
to it going like,
it's like,
yes,
she's,
I can.
Encouraging,
yeah,
he's encouraging her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not really familiar with the, because he recorded it originally, what, 61, I think?
I don't know the exact year, but it's
quite
early
a bit
60s.
Earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this version really does take the cake.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play a little segment right now. This is Someday We'll Be Together, Diana Ross and the Supremes. That's a good place to end. You can hear Johnny Bristol chiming in, telling her, "You're doing good. Keep going."
So
I love
true.
That. I love that. Okay, as much as I love every single song that you brought tonight, Sue, I don't want to play favorites, but I'm really glad that you included this next song.
Oh yeah, this one is,
because you were asking before, people ask you what the best song of all time is, this one I think is a really big contender.
I agree with you. I agree with you. It speaks for itself. I mean, there's no real story behind it except that the original title was written by Jim Weatherly. The original title was Midnight Plane to Houston, and it was sung by Sissy Houston, who's the mother of Whitney Houston.
Yes. God, everybody's real.
They're all related. They're all related. Eh? Yeah, I know. I wish I was around that family. And but the song speaks for itself. And Gladys Knight, to me, is one of the greatest singers in the whole world.
Wow.
There's a texture to her voice, again, that cannot be imitated. My dream is for her to just sit next to me and talk to me, because she has a texture in her voice, mm-hmm. and it comes through when she sings. She can sing anything. She can sing The Phone Book, and yes. I'll be like dazzled, yes. you know? So this song speaks for itself. There's yeah. not much you can say.
And not to mention, special shout out to the Pips, because
that's right.
I was listening to the original recording of this song by Sissy Houston, like you were saying, and I was waiting for the woo-woos, but they don't happen because there aren't any Pips in that recording.
That's right.
So the Pips, I love these.
You're right. They do. It's a big part of the song. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge part of the song.
And it's just as fun to sing along to those backing vocals than it is to the actual, to the lead main vocal.
Exactly.
Yeah. Midnight Train to Georgia. Do you remember the year of this recording?
1973.
Three, right? Mm-hmm. From Imagination is the name of the album, I believe. Yes. Which I think I've listened to that album, and I was kind of disappointed because I thought it would be all Midnight Train to Georgia.
Yeah, no, but the songs are great. I mean, just I guess by virtue of the fact that it's Gladys singing them for me, but some of them really are good. There are some good songs.
Yeah, okay, then I'm going to take another listen.
Maybe because it didn't have that funk or whatever.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, and speaking of funk, special shout out. Actually, you know what? I'm going to keep a fun fact for at the end of this song, folks. I'm going to play the song first, and we'll talk a little bit more about it on the other side. So this is Midnight Train to Georgia. You'll know it when you hear it. Gladys Knight and the Pips.
So he's leaving the life he's come to know. Ooh.
He said he's going.
He said he's going back to find.
Going back to find.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. What's left of his world? The world he left behind. Not so long.
Catchy.
Isn't it great?
Yeah. And what I wanted to talk about just before we played the song, one of my favorite session bass players, I don't know if you've heard of him, so his name is Bob Babbitt.
No,
he's on a bunch of Stevie Wonder records and Smokey Robinson and and The Miracles, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I was forgetting for a second. But he's on a bunch of these old Motown records. And he's featured pretty nicely on this track as well, because that's a slippery bass line.
I didn't even know that, yeah.
Oh, I love that kind of
stuff. It is, yeah. And you were saying how it's an interesting bass line, eh? You were saying about how...
Yeah, it's fun to play. It's fun to play. It's fun for me to listen to, at least. But I love... it's fun, especially in these kinds of soul and funk records, where unlike kind of in rock music most of the time, where everything is kind of really on the beat.
Yes.
In funk and soul and R&B, it slips in between. It's
There's
really
so
syncopated.
Much improv because it's a feeling. Because it's a feeling. Precisely. That's the whole thing, you know. Like, you feel it, and so you don't know what you're going to sing or you're going to play from one note to the next in some cases.
Sure.
You know, there are some singers that, you know, the musicians have a hard time following because they don't know what the singer's going to do next.
Right. And at the same time, even in this kind of... genre, you also get these wonderful, besides the things that are improvised, there's these wonderful orchestrations like we've been talking about, things that are arranged and planned, that like a nice, there's a nice balance between these kind of, like there's strings, for example, that play beautifully in sort of the background of this song, Midnight Train to Georgia, but at the same time you get these funky syncopated rhythms that maybe aren't as precise or arranged.
True.
But they really complement each other. I love that stuff.
I agree.
Oh yeah. The next song that you brought, Sue, I don't think I've ever heard this version before, because the song is You'll Never Walk Alone.
Yeah.
Which Jerry and the Pacemakers, I guess, is the one that I've heard before.
That's right, yeah. Well, it's Rodgers and Hammerstein. It's kind of a, it's a funny insert. I'll tell you what the story is behind this.
Yeah.
Well, Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells sang this in the 60s, in 1964. Patti LaBelle's one of my favorite singers.
Any particular reason?
Because when you talk about feeling, I don't know if you've ever seen her. I mean, her best performances are her live performances.
Okay.
But I didn't, she did a version of You'll Never Walk Alone, a live performance that, I mean, the woman just, she lets it all go. You think that she's in the middle of
a religious experience of some kind.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
She's one of my favorite singers for the very reason that she's all feeling. You know, probably she's one of those singers that we're talking about that they don't know what she's going to do from one note to the next. So it's kind of an interesting choice, I know, but I just kind of wanted to insert like a, it was an, you know, a song with the Bluebells. So it was one of those girl groups, you know, in the 60s. So I figured I'd put in this version of it, although it's not my favorite version, but it's Patti LaBelle and it's a 60s girl group.
Okay.
And I thought that maybe...
I'm not totally familiar with the Bluebell. Are they typically collaborating with... it's kind of like her
original
Supremes,
band.
her
exactly,
backing.
Okay, her Supremes, that's right.
Okay, I didn't know about this.
And then she went on her own in about 1970 or 19... I think early 70s she went on her own, but she started with the Bluebells and they did quite well actually.
Oh, okay.
But then
I hear Patti LaBelle, at least the name up there in the annals, you know, the Mount Rushmores of R&B in the 60s.
Yeah.
But I still haven't taken the deep dive. There's still a lot for me to learn. Whatever happened to her? Is she still around?
Yeah, she's still around. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. She's in her 70s. She has a cooking show. She's a great cook.
What?
Yeah.
No kidding.
But she's still great. I saw one of her performances on YouTube about not long ago, and she still gives it everything she has. She gets on stage, and that she did inspire me, because I had all that feeling inside when I'd sing, but I'd kind of be like shy to bring that all out. But then when I see someone like that, I say, but that's what it's about, you know, if it's inside of you, gotta let it out. So she was always an inspiration for me in that sense.
That's wonderful.
I mean, doesn't really come out on this version of this song, but I just figured I'd do a girl group song.
Yeah, totally. That's a really interesting thing that you bring up, though, because it's I've seen you sing. It's contagious when you truly like feel what you're doing, and you don't have to feel shy. You don't have to let anything back. It makes it not only enhances, like your performance already is like, you know, going way up. Like everybody already respects you, but the whole band is elevated, you know.
Thank you so much.
As well as the audience and whoever is around, and I'm sure like the feeling you get from watching Patti LaBelle, you know.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, she touches me so deeply when she sings. And so when I sing, if I can do that for someone else, when someone comes up to me and says, oh my gosh, you know, when you sang, you know, I felt the way you were, you know, really feeling that song and belting it out. It's just, like you said, contagious. Uh-huh. So for me, if I can touch somebody else like that, the way I've been touched by the way she sings, that's everything for me.
Yeah, for sure. Is there a live performer that you've seen live that has really done that to you? I mean, we were talking about Aretha before, but you saw Patti LaBelle live?
I didn't see her live. Oh, okay. No, I've never seen. She came one year as part of the jazz festival, and I couldn't go to the concert. Mm. I was so upset. I would have loved to have seen her. Her and Gladys Knight, it's on my bucket list.
You missed
list,
them, eh? Yeah.
Both of them, yeah.
But is there anybody else in your lifetime that you've thought, like when you saw them at a concert live, that you had this response to them immediately?
Yes, definitely. There was, I saw Diana Ross, actually.
Oh,
she,
cool.
Yeah, I saw her about 15 years ago. She gave it a lot. But to that point, besides Aretha Franklin, who I saw three times, of course, she definitely gives it everything. Mm-hmm. Who else? I'm trying to think. I've seen a lot of gospel singers, actually. Oh. I don't know if you know Shirley Caesar and CeCe Winans. I've seen them, and they give it everything.
No kidding.
Especially Shirley Caesar. I mean, Shirley Caesar, she's the godmother of gospel soul, actually. Of gospel, rather. Sorry,
okay,
not gospel soul.
Okay.
And she gets on the stage, and it's like, I went to a concert of hers in 1999. I mean, I'm shy to say this, but I was just crying the whole concert.
Oh,
because
that's beautiful.
It's just like, the woman gives it everything she has, you
oh
know?
Oh, my God, so, what an experience.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was actually at the St. James United Church that she...
Oh, my God. Okay, it wasn't at Place des Arts or any kind of sterile environment like that?
No, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
So those singers inspire me, you know, to let go, you know, and just sing what comes out, you know? I mean, I'm not always... with the band, but it's just what's inside of me that needs to come out. And
absolutely.
That's what Patti LaBelle means to me.
Soul power.
Yeah.
Soul power. Okay, so let's take a listen then to You'll Never Walk Alone. We'll take a little listen to that, and we'll come back we're going to talk about Donny Hathaway. Oh, man.
Oh,
okay, here's Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells. That vibrato is pretty intense, eh?
Yeah.
That's not easy
her
to do.
Her voice hasn't changed that much, actually. Believe it or not, that's in 1964, and I've heard her recently. But I mean, the voice, like the texture of the voice itself. But
yeah.
Like I said, listening to Patti LaBelle live is like, you know, a unique experience.
Yeah, totally, totally. I can only imagine. Yeah. I'm gonna have to take the dive and look over her discography and some of the videos like you're talking about, because I
sure.
really want to see what this is all about.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a performer I've featured on the show before. Not maybe as much as I could, but there's so much soul music out there.
I know.
But I love this artist. It's Donny Hathaway. And you included in the playlist this song, To Be Young, Gifted, and Black, which is a Nina Simone
song, right? That's right. Nina Simone wrote that song.
Right.
And Donny Hathaway's version to me, as any version, any cover that he makes, I mean, Donny Hathaway to me is the god of soul male vocalist.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, really?
He had something in his voice. Of course, he has a lot of soul and all that, but there was a lot of sadness in Donny Hathaway's life. I don't know if you know, but he took his life at the end. So you heard that pain in his songs, whatever he covered. Like, it wasn't always about, for example, To Be Young, Gifted, and Black is actually an anthem. It's actually something that they're proud of.
Right.
But he takes that deep, profound feeling, everything that he feels so deeply, and he puts it into every song. And this song in particular, because it was written by Nina Simone,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't actually, I believe it was an official anthem of the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was the official anthem, but it was definitely, they played it often.
Lift Every Voice and Sing also, I think, is a big one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right. They played it often. And when he sings it, I mean, hands down, he's my favorite male vocalist, soul male vocalist.
I like what you're talking about in terms of sadness, because when you're talking just in terms of being at your favorite male vocalist, in the back of my head, I'm going, what about Marvin? What about Otis?
Yeah.
What about Stevie? What about all these people?
Definitely.
But no, but not that you're, I know you're not negating them at all.
No, not at all.
But I totally,
it's just he has that
sense of sadness.
I hear it in his voice. It's like, I almost feel like he's sitting next to me sobbing when he's singing, but at the same time, like I said, that depth goes into beautiful songs like this, you know, that was a great song for a whole community, you know?
Yeah, totally, totally. I'm going to pick it up somewhere, not immediately at the beginning, because it's kind of like a slow build, which is, I mean, I encourage everybody out there to listen to the whole song. But yeah, I'm going to start, I'm going to pick about a minute into the song. This is To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. And actually, and this is Donny Hathaway. And then we're going to lead that into the commercials for a hot minute. But we'll be right back to round off the show with, should I spoil it? Yeah, okay, we're going to come back with the Gloria Gaynor, Harold Melvin, and the Staples Singers. Yes, I can't wait to talk about this. All right, folks, this is Sold Out, CJLO Radio, 1690 AM, and this is Donny Hathaway, To Be Young, Gifted, and Black.
To be young, gifted, and black. Open your heart to what I mean, to what I mean. 'Cause you know, in this whole wide world, there's a million boys and girls who are young.
Tune in to Transmission for post-radio noise to guide you through this dying world. Every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on CJLO 1690 AM.
Radio, live transmission. new decade has begun, and we're ready to reach new heights in 2020 vision. The Lux Magna Festival has returned for its third edition, and we're inviting you to join us for some music, film, visual art, dance, and more. Featuring performances by Sidani, Big Brave, Trana Wintour, Backwash, Sarah May, Mini Massive of Nomadic Massive, Gail Young, Olivia Short, and plenty of other acts from near and far. Lux Magna 2020 kicks off Wednesday, January 22nd, and runs until Sunday, January 26th. For more information, please visit luxmagna.ca. Lux Magna, escape the shadows, enter the great light.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. You're listening to Sold Out on CJLO Radio, 1690 AM, and tonight it's been an evening just of classic soul, because I'm here with Sue Khoury, who knows everything about this wonderful playlist she brought in. We've been having a lot of fun looking over these songs from like Gladys Knight and the Pips, Dionne Warwick, Mahalia Jackson, the whole crew is here. And I'm super glad, Sue, that you included this song, I'll Take You There by the Staple Singers. Again, another song related to a specific kind of civil rights-ish context.
Yes, exactly.
Because the Staples worked pretty close with exactly. MLK, eh?
That's right. Yeah. And it was kind of called soul folk. Like, you know, she used to be in the protests and in the 60s as well, her and her family, the Staple Singers. And but it's got a spiritual element as well to this song. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, Mavis was just a kid. Like when the group was in the, getting started in about the 50s or so, mid-late 50s, I think.
Yes.
She was 10 years old or something.
She was very young.
Yeah.
But I had the privilege of seeing her recently, as you did.
Yes, at the Rialto Theater.
Exactly. And actually, she puts a lot into her, but it's almost natural, too, with her. It flows. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but when she's singing, yes, she puts a lot into it. And she's amazing. She's like 80 years old, and her voice and spirit is that of a 25-year-old.
Totally.
But she has that feeling in her singing of, you know, things from the past. Again, the civil rights movement. I know we keep repeating that, but
no, but it's true.
And the pain that they went through. And but I'll Take You There again. I guess a common theme in all of these songs is like they're emerging, you know, from all of that heavy past, but they're emerging for a positive future. And I'll Take You There is really about, you know, I'll take you there.
A positive image of what's to come. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And something that maybe separates Mavis Staples from some of the other singers is you're talking about like having this kind of soul. She doesn't even have to sing words. Like she grunts. She goes boop boom ba boom ba.
Exactly.
And you still get
dun, 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 dun.
Yes. Dun, 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 yes, you could sing a bass line, you know, and still have you like gripped.
Exactly.
I love that part of this song. Maybe I'll play it a little longer so we can get there when it comes to the guitar solo and she's going daddy play.
Yeah, well, it's like a call and response kind of song, you know? So they're going back and forth and it's like almost a conversation that they're having.
Yeah, Barry, play your piano now.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. All right, so let's take a quick listen to I'll Take You There. These are the Staple Singers. Oh man, I love this song.
Ain't nobody worried. No. Ain't no smiling faces. No, lying to the races. Help me, come on, somebody help me now. I'll take you there. Help me, y'all. I'll take you there. Help me now. I'll take you there. I'll take you there.
I was just about to say to you, Sue, that something that's kind of funny, I think, is this was recorded at Muscle Shoals, I think, which is like, you know, a landmark R&B and soul studio.
Yes.
And I don't remember the name of the guitarist, but it's not Pops Staples who does that solo. So Mavis is like encouraging Daddy, like, play your solo, play. But it's actually a session player who isn't her father. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. No, I didn't know that. Yeah, it's funny.
I just imagine her in the recording booth alone, just saying whatever she wants, you know. It's a great image.
Yeah.
All right. Definitely. Unfortunately, we're like a little bit low, running on low time here. We've only got a couple of songs left here on the playlist, including the next one here, which is Don't Leave Me This Way by Harold Melvin. Why this song, Sue?
Well, I love the version, you know, that everybody knows. The all of a sudden her name escapes me, but the one who made it famous,
here,
I can't even think of her name. I love that version, but I never knew that hers wasn't the original version. I don't know why her name is escaping me, because I love that song. And when I found out that it was Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, they were the ones who wrote this song. Well, actually, it's written by a fellow by the name of Kenneth Gamble. Mm-hmm. And Leon Huff, mm-hmm. and Cary Gilbert,
yeah.
And that they were writers for Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. When I heard the original version, I said, "Oh, now I know why I like this song so much."
Was it Thelma Houston?
Is that Thelma Houston? That's right. I don't know why I couldn't.
Okay.
But this was Philadelphia soul, and it was an interesting mm-hmm. period. Philadelphia soul, the '70s. You had all the instrumentation that came along.
Yep.
The strings, the horns.
Yeah, it's super different from like the Stax soul.
That's
right. Like we were just hearing before with the Staples, where it's really kind of.
Yes.
Classic instruments, just like, you know, electric piano, guitar, bass, drums.
Yes, and I think that's what made it, you know, gave it an appeal to me. So I decided to include this version rather than Thelma Houston's, because it really is quite a, I know it ended up to be a disco song, but it is quite an orchestra. Well, the way the arrangement is, there's a lot happening in this song.
Yeah. Yeah,
and more than I had ever realized, put it that way.
Yeah, for sure. And there's definitely, you're saying like it came up in disco a lot, but there's definitely some shared DNA, especially between Philadelphia soul and disco. Like
yes.
You can tell there's quite a few similarities
definitely.
In sound. All right, so let's take a quick listen to Don't Leave Me This Way. Here's Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Survive, can't stay alive without your love. Don't leave me this way, no. I can't exist, I'll surely miss your tender kiss. Don't leave me this way, no. Don't leave me this way. A broken man with empty hands. Baby, please, please.
Yeah, that's a real toe tapper.
Yeah.
And it's a long one, too. It's very danceable because it's like a 6-minute song. So.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
It's Teddy Pendergrass, actually, the lead vocalist. They were called Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. But,
oh, are you serious?
Yeah, Teddy Pendergrass was actually the lead vocalist.
You're kidding.
On this song. I think they might have had a lot of session vocalists. I think it was a group that, yeah.
Oh, here I was thinking it was, you know, a classic band leader singer and the rest of the.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm learning all kinds of stuff here tonight. I hope you are too, folks, yeah. Everybody out there, because this is like a soul education, and I'm super happy. Thank you so much, Sue,
Thank
for being
you
here tonight.
For having me.
We're almost out of time, unfortunately, but you know what? You can come back like anytime you want. You're always welcome back here. Unfortunately, we were limited to like about 10-ish songs tonight, but there's so much stuff out there.
There definitely is. It was so hard to narrow it down to 10. I mean, there are hundreds of amazing soul songs.
Totally.
Yeah.
And this one, like we were talking just before with Don't Leave Me This Way, kind of moves toward that disco territory. I think this song, this last song does as well. It's I Will Survive. Everybody's familiar with this one, Gloria Gaynor. What kind of role did the song play your time?
The song is a song. It came out in 1978, and I think I sang it at every talent show, anytime someone would ask me to sing a song. Oh, can you sing I Will Survive? For some reason, it always ended up to be that song.
Yeah.
And so it almost became an anthem to my singing career, if you will.
Oh,
it's a great song. It's got a great feel. And then, as you know, we've sung it with
Tom's band. Yeah.
So
totally.
Yeah, it's almost, I call it my second skin song, because I sing it and it's just, because I've sung it so often, it just kind of comes out, you know, when I sing that one.
Yeah, and you sing it with the same conviction. The thing that seals the deal for this song for me is the conviction in Gloria Gaynor's voice. That's just like, yes, it's a song about, you know, I don't need you anymore, I'm past this, but she sells it with this vocal performance.
That's right.
So strong. It's so powerful.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to have to use that as a play-out song now, because we're almost out. But thank you so much for listening, folks. This has been Sold Out right here on CJLO Radio 1690 AM. And I'll be back next week with another playlist. No specific theme to it, but I've picked up some really cool stuff along the way, folks. 2020 is going to be a good year for the show. Sue, thank you so much again for being here. It's been a blast, to say the least. Here is Gloria Gaynor with I Will Survive. Have a great evening, folks.